But today we're going to talk about next steps in our spiritual life. And what I want to talk about today, I think is probably one of the most important things that people like me teach, because it really does have the power to change your life and your spiritual walk. And yet it's so nuts and bolts that sometimes I don't think about it enough. I need to probably preach this kind of a thing more often. But I really do, as someone that's walked with the Lord a long time, believe that this is maybe one of the most important things you can do in your spiritual walk. And I will tell you, you know that I love John's books, all the stuff he writes late, it's love, it's all those sorts of things. We are gonna do a Paul sermon today, okay? The Apostle Paul was the, you know, hey, get with it, you know, we got a plan, got to put it on the calendar, got to do list kind of a guy. That's the way Paul was. Paul would be the guy that always got things done, you know, but wasn't always the most popular guy. So I'm going to just warn you right up front, you know, that I'm going to preach a Paul sermon. So if you get up and walk out, Paul would have called you out. I won't call you out. Sorry. That's how we're going to go there. So the question becomes next steps. This is a time of year when we all kind of think about, we reflect on the last year, and we begin to think about the year to come in so many ways. I do that personally. I do that professionally. I kind of think about how'd the year go, what's going on, what do we want to do in the year to come. So I just kind of want to ask, how many of you plan on making changes in 2018? Yeah, just the tax code alone means that a lot of people are going to have to make changes some way, shape, or form through all of that. Maybe some of you are making resolutions. I'm telling you, I don't make resolutions anymore because, like, on January 2nd, I don't like it anymore, and so I've just kind of quit that. Maybe some of you are thinking, this is the year I'm going to go back to school. Man, that would be a good change, you know. I'm going to get a gym membership. You know, memberships go way up in January at gyms and way down by March, but we won't talk about that. And maybe you're going to start a saving for retirement or for a new vehicle or something. Just, you know, this is a good time to kind of think about this. And this is a time when a lot of us kind of lay out plans for what the future is going to hold. So let me ask you, as the spiritual kind of advisor in your life, what is the next step in your spiritual journey? Don't ask that a lot. You make a plan for retirement, you make a plan for, you know, for weight loss, you make a plan for your career, you make a plan for your spiritual life. What's the next step for you? Not the person around you, for you. In fact, many ways, when I think about my job in the very simplest kind of thing, what I do is I help people take the next step in their spiritual journey. And if you're a new believer, that looks different than if you measure your walk with Christ in decades. But for everybody, there is a next step. There's a place where God wants to go. And honestly, every place of importance, everything that is really important to you, has a plan around it in some way, shape, or form. You're planning for retirement. You're planning for your career. You're planning for finances. You're planning for. There's all of those sorts of things. But when it comes to the spiritual realm, sometimes we think, well, you know, it's just, I don't really have a plan. I go to church, you know, and I, you know, listen to preachers on TV sometimes. And, you know, if I'm feeling really spiritual, I might listen to a podcast. Ooh, now we're really hitting it, you know. But there's no goals. There's no actionable plan in our lives. And this is the most important thing. This is the only thing that will last past all of the rest of that stuff. When your financial plan doesn't matter anymore because you're in heaven. You know, when you got the new body that's tall and skinny, that, you know, like you don't think like that too. The one thing that will matter for eternity is your spiritual life, your soul. And so it always, you know, I just always wonder, why don't we make plans like this? And so this is just such an important sort of thing for us. That's what we want to talk about a little bit this morning. And I will tell you that I really believe this will change your spiritual life. If you do not have an actionable plan for spiritual growth and you get one, this will change your life. Over and over again, people come to me and spiritual life is like, well, it's just kind of, you know, I'm kind of in the blasés, you know, I don't know where I'm going to go. I really don't do any bad stuff anymore, but yada, 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 yada. And every time, there has not been a disciplined approach to their life. And so we want to share with that. In fact, Paul has a very specific way of talking about this. Paul took the idea of a spiritual game plan for your personal growth really, really, really seriously. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You can get the regular Bible or in your phone or the app, any of those there. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to do this and we're going to do Galatians, two passages written by Paul. So Paul starts out like this. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run? Okay, can we all agree that when you're in a race, you run? Some run faster than others, but we run. So he's kind of like, you all agree to this, right? Okay. But only one receives the prize. We also get that too, right? The guy that goes first. How many have ever run and won a foot race? How many have ever run and lost a foot race? Yeah. Oh, yeah, there the hands go. Everybody's. Yeah, we all get that. Then he goes, you get that. Everybody runs, but only one person wins the prize. He says, so run that you may obtain it. Now, we know he's not talking about running a physical race here. So he's changed the context. You'll see why we know he's not talking about that in just a second. And now he's talking about our spiritual lives. And he's saying, you are to run the race of life, your spiritual life, in such a way that you win the prize. There's an intentionality here. There's a purposefulness in all of that. And so the reality here is that what he's talking about is the Olympics. When Paul was alive, the original Olympics were still going on. And we're pretty sure that Paul was probably at all of them during his lifetime because he was a tent maker. And one of the best places to sell tents was at the Olympics. It was also the place where when people's tents ripped and things happened, you could repair them, all of those sorts of things. So like all of the tent makers would be there. So Paul probably saw the Olympics a number of times. And there are a number of events in the Olympics. The boxing was one of them. How many of you like boxing? Boxing, yeah, a few of you like boxing. I tried it once as a teenager and it occurred that, you know, they hit me too. I don't get to just hit them. And I decided maybe that wasn't the best sport for me. They even had a thing that we would think of today as mixed martial arts. It was a type of fighting in which there was only three rules. One of them was you couldn't gouge people's eyes out. The second one was you can't bite. And I don't even remember what the third one was, but that was it. And the last guy conscious won, you know, so it was win by a knockout. And then they had other stuff in there. They had chariot racing and discus and javelin wrestling, a number of things. But there was one event that was more important than all the other events. Anyone know what it was? Nope, close. It was the short race. This is a picture of what the track looked like. This is an actual picture of an Olympic racetrack back from Paul's time. It was about 200 meters long. Any of you ever run a 200 meter race? It's a long way to run full blast in all of that. And this was the single most important event. The marathon was important, but this one was the most important one. If you won this event, the Olympics for that year were named after you. Pretty big deal, huh? So instead of being Winter Olympics 2017, it would be Debbie Edgebert Olympics. And they would remember that because Debbie ran 200 meters faster than everybody. She would really remember that. And so fame would come your way. Everyone in all of the Roman Empire would know your name. The emperor would know your name and would pay special attention to you. Fortune would come your way because everybody wanted a piece of you and they'd give you gifts and all kinds of things in all of that. And so it was a really big deal. And so the very best athletes in the world ran the 212-meter race in the Olympics because this was the one with the big, big payoff in all of that. And so if you're going to do something that could radically change your life, you don't just show up that day and say, hey, can I run? Right? You work out ahead of time. You run. You do all of the things to prepare. And that's literally what Paul is talking about here when he says, so run the race in a way that you will win. He's saying in your spiritual life, there should be a discipline and a focus. There should be a training program. Any of you ever been in a training program, you know, like for physical fitness or anything like that, you know, and they have a trainer or a coach, you know? How many of you have ever had a coach yell at you? Come on, yeah, use your hand. Yeah, that's kind of what's being talked about. They usually yell at you because you're not performing to the way that they think you should perform. Amen? And sometimes they just yell because they like to yell. But anyway, So he goes on. So Paul goes on. Every athlete exercises self-discipline in all things, okay, in all of their physical things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable sort of wreath. And so everyone that's a serious athlete has a serious training schedule. They get up early, they run, they lift weights, they, you know, have a coach that helps them. There's a whole process. And Paul is literally taking that whole big idea and saying, you need to apply this to your spiritual life. And for some reason in America, that's like a new idea to us. What? We have to work on our spiritual life? You know, I thought I got saved. Aren't we done? You know, that is the end of it. And so he's talking about that idea. And they do all of that work so they can get a perishable prize. They can't take it with them to heaven. And what we're talking about is the one thing that is eternal in our lives. Shouldn't it have a place of importance? So Paul goes on. So I do not run aimlessly. He's saying, he's giving witness. I don't run. I don't just do my spiritual life like, hey, whatever, I'm going to show up and kind of walk down the track, you know. He said he's disciplined in his spiritual approach to life. There's an intentionality in how he prepares spiritually. I do not box as one beating the air. And that's an illustration there in that in the ancient Olympics, boxing was one of the main events. And they wanted to prepare themselves to take a blow. So the big-time boxers would literally have people come in and punch them in the side and in the gut all through their torso until they were black and blue so that they could withstand a punch. And that's how you could tell the boxers, oh, look at that guy, that's a boxer, you know, because it'd be just all over him. And so he's saying, I don't pretend to do this. I take the blows in my body. I do the hard stuff in order to be where I need to be spiritually. I set goals. I have a direction. So then he goes on, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest having preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. And so this is just basically, he's all the way in. He says, what the most advanced, most elite athletes in the world do to win their race in the Olympics, I do for my spiritual life. Kind of a different perspective, isn't it, in all of that? There's this idea that we are to be working on our spiritual lives. That's what Paul is telling us in all of this. In fact, if I could just kind of sum all of that up, I would say it like this. Christians are spiritual athletes. Amen. You all are athletes. You didn't know that. That comes as a surprise to some of you. You're spiritual athletes. Now, you may be physical athletes as well, or maybe you're mental athletes, you're really smart, I don't know, but you are all spiritual athletes if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And we are to be constantly working on our spiritual body, getting stronger, making ourselves better, constantly growing and going to the next level in all of that. In fact, this appears all over in Paul's writings. In Romans chapter 12, he tells us to be being transformed. And it's the idea that you have been transformed. You met Jesus Christ and he came into your life and he took away the guilt of sin and you felt the lift and he gave you new life and made you a new creation. And it's like, yes! I got a whole other sermon if you don't believe that. We'll just change, you know, okay? I don't even know how to repeat that. You're supposed to say amen right there. Anyway, you have been transformed. Now continue to be transformed. Be being transformed. And so in all of Paul's writing, he never envisioned that spirituality was something that happened to you one time when you found Jesus and now it's over and you're just waiting for Jesus to come back. He envisioned that we would be constantly intentionally growing and becoming like Christ. In fact, the word discipline and disciple have the same root. It means learner. If you're a disciple of Jesus, then you're disciplined in your approach in how we do that. So let me ask you this. What is your game plan for spiritual growth in 2018? You've got that all worked out, right? You know, because like tomorrow is 2018. I don't know if you know that, you know. I mean, people have thought about resolutions. They've thought about tax planning. They've thought about saving for the future. They've thought about retirement. They've thought about saving for a car. They've made some resolutions of some sort or another. But what is your game plan for spiritual growth in 2018? Have you made a decision about that? You've thought about professional growth? And here's what I think I have discovered after being a pastor for a long time. The number one reason people don't grow spiritually is they fail to create and execute a plan. I just see this everywhere. You know, if you don't have a plan, you can't execute a plan, right? But if you have a plan and you don't execute a plan, it doesn't help you. Amen? I mean, if you say, I am going to save for retirement, and I'm going to save $100 a month, but you never put it in the bank, do you know what happens at the end of 10 years? You got nothing, just like you did at the beginning. You have to plan, and then you have to execute the plan in all of that. And so this is such an important thing that I really want to encourage you in these moments. We're going to talk about how to create a spiritual game plan for what the next step is in your spiritual life, for your spiritual growth. And I just have to say, this is one of those things that changed my life. When I was a teenager, I was a follower of Christ and, you know, kind of struggling and all of that. And a pastor that I had at that time challenged me to have a game plan for spiritual growth. He didn't use those words. They didn't talk like that back then. But he basically said, I needed to be praying every day and I needed to be in God's word every day. And so he challenged me. He said, 5 minutes, you know, because I'm like an ADHD teenager. 5 minutes was a long time. He said, pray for 5 minutes every day and read God's word for 5 minutes every day. And that became a lifelong discipline in my life that changed my life. And I used to have to set a timer to pray for 5 minutes because I couldn't think of, you know, 5 minutes worth of things. But it's such an important thing. And I just really believe that if you will follow what we're going to talk about, again, this is a Paul sermon. It's real nuts and bolts in all this. I believe this has the power to change your life if you're not doing this. And if you are doing this, go to the next step where God wants you to go. So I know that you got to have a plan, you got to execute the plan. And here's the third thing I know, and this is just from personal experience. A weak plan beats no plan every time. A weak plan beats no plan every time. But what's happened to me early on when I would set all kinds of goals, I would set like giant goals, you know? And those things are hard for us. We fail because we often have unrealistic goals. So you can imagine me, I'm kind of thinking about the new year and I'm thinking, no, I need to get in shape and do some stuff. And so here's my plan. I am going to work out 2 hours every day. Yeah. Want to know how long that plan works? It doesn't make it into the second hour, I'm telling you. Okay? So a weak plan is better than no plan. And an unrealistic plan is no plan. It just makes you feel better. It doesn't do anything for you and all of that. And so sometimes I see people say, I'm going to get serious about my spiritual life. I'm going to pray an hour every day. You know how many people pray an hour every day? Not very many. Most of them are like me. They get paid to do that. Okay, I pray a lot more than most people, but I get to put it on the time clock, man. I'm at work when I'm doing that. Most people can't do that. We have to have realistic sorts of goals in our life. And so we want to create a realistic plan, and then you can build on that, that success. So here's the idea. This is what I call the 10-minute plan, okay? Because the pastor that gave that to is 5 minutes in the Word and 5 minutes in praying every day. 10 minutes out of your life. That's doable for me. So I'm going to make a covenant with you. I already said this in the other services. But I need, when it comes to spiritual things, I'm guessing that I'm probably a little further than a lot of people. But you guys are a lot further than me in a lot of other things. So one of the things I need to do is I need to get up out of my pastor chair and work out a little bit more. So I'm covenanting with you, and you will covenant with me, that I will do intentional walking 10 minutes every day in this next year. And the person that holds me accountable, my coach, was in our 9:30 service. I could see him writing down there. I'm like, oh. So every month he's going to say, I've got a calendar. I'm going to check off to make sure I get. And what I'm going to ask you to do, because you're in a lot better shape physically than me, is that you get 10 minutes every day in intentional spiritual growth. Read the word for 5 minutes. Pray for 5 minutes. I'm going to show you how to do that in just a minute. You got it so good, you can just set the alarm on your phone, right? You know, have it count down from 5 to 0. When it hits 0, you can stop mid-prayer. It's all right. It's all that. Okay, so we're going to talk about that. So, developing your spiritual training plan today. When you get into a physical training plan, there's some preparation that's involved. I don't know if you guys know this, but Pastor Dennis, who's our senior adults pastor, is an avid runner. He runs all the time, crazy amount, like 6, 7, 8 miles a day the man runs. Well, when you do that, when you start doing that, you have to get some stuff ready. You have to buy better shoes, right? Because you don't want to run in like dress shoes. And they have better clothes, and you got a watch, and you got all that sort of stuff. And in fact, Dennis's wife said to me, he's got a whole closet full of that stuff, you know, because there's some preparation you need to do. And you have to make time. You can't find time. Have you ever noticed that nobody ever plays hide and seek with time? Because you never find it. You have to make it. It has to be intentional. Okay, so what does spiritual training look like then if we know a little bit about what physical? Well, Paul talked about this in Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, he kind of lays it out for us what he means by all of that. So Galatians chapter 5, he says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Now, I need to let you know here, the flesh isn't referring to our physical bodies here. There's another Greek word for that. It's actually referring to those things that draw us away from God, those things that are destructive in our lives, those things that are temptations, those things that we know aren't good for us spiritually. That, you know, it's that moment when it's like, I don't want to go there. So the flesh are those things that pull us away from God are part of our brokenness in all of that. So he goes on, okay? "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit." So he's setting up this kind of thing. On the one side is the flesh, the other side is the Spirit. "And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposites to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law." And remember the word law, we're going to come back to that in just a minute. But he's drawing this idea of the tug of the Spirit for what you want to do and the tug of the flesh for what you don't want to do and what you know is destructive for your life. And so you want to be like Christ, but there's this flesh that's pulling you back and sabotaging you. And now he goes on, after talking about that, he begins to list the poisons. How many of you would deliberately take poison into your body? Nope, haven't had anybody bite on that one yet. But sometimes we do things and take things into our body that aren't good for us, right? Come on, say amen. I'm not the only one who eat. I eat cookies too, okay? It's probably the flesh side, but we won't talk about that. So he gives us the spiritual poisons, the things that are bad for you spiritually. He says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity." Enmity is like building walls between people. "Strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and these and things like these." Glad nobody said amen as I went through that list. Don't look at your partner, okay? But I'm guessing all of us see some of ourselves up there somewhere. "I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." So those are the poisons. He said you want to decrease these poisons in your life. You want to put these out of your life. And if they're in your life, you want to figure out ways to reduce them. And then he goes on to say, now here's the good thing. Here's the fruits and vegetables, although he calls it fruits, that you want to eat in your life. And this is what you want to increase in your spiritual diet and in your spiritual life. He says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." Let's say these together. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, I'm guessing there's some things up there you'd like to say, I could have some more of that in my life. I would be better off if I had a little more of that in my life, in fact. And so he's drawing these two, the poisons that you want to get out of your life, that's part of the spiritual practice. Athletes, stop doing some stuff. And the good things that you want to build into your life that make you stronger spiritually. And so if you want to grow spiritually, we have to work on these particular things. We focus on them. And when we focus on them, it helps to bring them into definition, and it helps us to grow in that way. Is when we say, okay, I'm going to pick that one. This year we're going to work on it. I'm going to pick that one, and I'm going to grow in that one. So anyone want more love in their life? Really? You know what love is? I mean, it's the greatest thing. It's the one thing that lasts. It's more God in your life. More joy, more peace. How many of you want more patience in your life? Yeah. How many of you wish you could get it just by being zapped and didn't have to work to learn it? Yeah, me too. Okay. We're being real honest here. We're going to talk about that too in a little bit. So then he goes on and says, boy, my thing likes to go today. "And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh." Have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And so here he lays out kind of the game plan. You need to crucify, you need to die to those things that pull you in the wrong direction, that bring you towards destruction, that break and harm you and harm others. Die to that and then live to the Spirit. Allow the Spirit of God to move in your life and move you to those fruits and those good things. And so if I could sum it up, here's how I just sum up this whole thing he said. It's this. The goal of spiritual growth is Christ-likeness. Okay? The goal of spiritual growth is not to memorize more verses than anybody else. It's not to know more theology than anybody else. It is to be transformed and changed into the image of Christ, to be like Christ. And the mechanism, The mechanism of spiritual growth is spirit control. How do we become like Christ? How do we change? How do we grow spiritually? We let the Spirit of the living God continue to take control of our lives. And He is the one that will cultivate the fruit that comes out of us in all of those other ways. You see, true spiritual growth is not about keeping the rules. Not about keeping the rules. Amen? It's about submission to the Holy Spirit in our lives. I grew up in a pretty legalistic environment, and there were a lot of things I didn't do because I didn't want to get caught. And then the Spirit took control of my life. I came to a place of total surrender. And you know what? I still don't do those things. But now, it's not because someone's going to get me. It's because the Spirit of God lives in me. And I don't want to do those things anymore. And that's a hugely different way to come at your spirituality. Let the Spirit have control. In fact, legalism is a denial of the Holy Spirit. It's saying the Holy Spirit's not doing good enough, so I'm going to straighten you out. How many of you met that person in church somewhere, you know? We've all met that person. But Paul is saying is let the Spirit have control of your life. That's how you grow spiritually. So you guys know about, you know, like a trainer at the gym. Well, in the spiritual world, your pastors are your spiritual trainers. In fact, the Bible says that our job is to prepare you for the work of the kingdom of God. And so I want to kind of give you a couple of tips here as we do this. So the first thing in your plan is you do have to set spiritual goals, measurable goals. I'm going to do this. I'm going to pray 5 minutes and read God's word 5 minutes every day. Easy goal at this stage, but it might be hard for you. Need a spiritual goal, set sorts of things. So, and then the second thing you need to do is reduce one poison in your life. On the back of your list, back of your notes, there's a list of the scriptures I'm having. Pick one of those that's in your life, or maybe you know another one that's not listed there, and say, that's the one I'm going to work on this year. We're going to work that one out of my life as much as I possibly can. Doesn't mean you'll get it all the way out of your life by the end of the year, but if you work on it all year long, you'll greatly reduce it. The third thing you need to do is pick one fruit to cultivate in your life. Amen? One thing where you want to change and be more like Christ in your life. You need more love in your life. Maybe you need more self-control in your life. Maybe you need more patience in your life. One thing where you want to do. Pick one thing you want to move out of your life off the poison list and one thing you want to move forward on the fruit list. So now let's talk about developing that training plan. That's the basic idea. Number one, pray intentionally. Pray, 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 pray. I can't tell you enough how important this is. I don't care what format you follow. I don't care how you do it or when you do it, but pray intentionally because prayer is more about changing you than changing God's mind. It is in prayer that the Lord straightens me out a lot. And so this is such an important one. Please, please pray intentionally every day. If you need a little help with this, here's some ideas. Pray for your family. Guys, I need every man's eyes up here. Pray for your family every single day. I don't care if you don't get anything else done. Pray for your family. You are the spiritual head of the home. That means you are the servant of the home. And the greatest gift you can give them is pray for them. Okay, pray for your wife, not about her, pray for her, okay? I've tried the praying about her, it doesn't work. God always says it's my fault anyway, so. Pray for your church. Pray that God would do a great thing in this place. 10,000 people a year move into our community. The harvest field is plentiful. We have to reach them for Christ. Pray for your pastor, because that dude needs all the help he can get, okay? Pray for yourself. A long time ago, I developed a discipline where I opened my personal prayer time, where I just kind of open myself, my arms up, and I kind of start with, search me, O God, and know my heart today. See if there be any wicked way in me. And I asked Him to forgive my trespasses and my sins. And then this very first part, the last part I say is, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in Your sight, O Lord, my God and my Redeemer. And that's my personal prayer. It's just, I do that. I've been doing that for a long, long time. But it's the invitation for God to search me out. And sometimes He searches out things that are painful, but they're poison and they're killing me spiritually, and so I want them out of my life. Amen. Pray for your work. Pray for your business. Set your goals. Pray for those. Set your little timer on your clock. Let it count down for 5 minutes. You won't get through all of these before that alarm goes off. Pray for all of those. Then listen. Most powerful things you can do is listen. Stop at the end of a prayer and listen for God. Say, okay, you know, I'm just going to be quiet here. You know, it does occur to me, if you were in the presence of the living God, Almighty, ruler of heaven and earth, that maybe you should shut up, see what he has to say, you know. I'm amazed at how often God speaks to me in that time. And then if you want bonus points for your overachievers, whoops, come here, meditate. Meditate on God's word. Every once in a while I hear Christians say something silly like, Christians don't meditate, that's not Christian. I want to say, have you read the same Bible I'm reading, man? We're supposed to meditate on God's words. So second, read the Bible regularly. Make this a discipline in your life. There's all kinds of ways you can do it. You can get electronically, you can get UBible, ubible.com. You can get it as an app on your phone. Get an NIV or ESV or CEV or NLT. All of those are modern translations. I love the King James, but you won't understand it, so don't use that one. But get one of the modern ones and read that. And then I encourage you to set a time. Do 5 minutes a day, do a chapter a day, do a paragraph a day. If that's all you can do, do something. Just get started in that. For some of you who've been doing this longer and want to set a little bigger goal, I encourage you to read through the Bible. There's something powerful about reading all the Old Testament. We don't tend to do that. There are Bibles that are set up specifically. If you read it every day, they give you the amount. You'll be through the Bible in a year and all that. For some of you who've done that, there are also Bibles that are set up chronologically rather than being ordered Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. It starts with Genesis, but then it goes forward with the actual chronological order. That's a really good thing for a lot of people. I had to learn that in seminary, but for folks to read it in order is a powerful thing. Maybe you need to do that this year. And then for extra points, do the Bible in 1 year, which is kind of what we just talked about. Then serve others regularly. And this is where the rubber hits the road. It's when we serve others that we discover our flaws and our faults. I can be really spiritual if I don't have to be around people. Man, I got it down. And then my neighbor does something. Oh, actually, I got really great neighbors, but you know what I'm saying? There's something about getting out there and engaging that God uses to help reveal the places we need to grow a little in our spiritual lives. Serve others generously in all that we do. We all fall short of the will of God. Amen. We all, there's more areas we can grow. My grandmother really taught me. I told you last week about my grandma that actually prophesied over me that I would be a pastor when I was really, really little. In the later years, she came to stay with us for a while, and she was like the most spiritual person I have ever met, had the fruit of the Spirit, all that kind of stuff. And as she got closer and closer, I noticed that more and more she talked about how sinful she was. I thought, oh, goodness, if you're sinful, I'm really in trouble, you know? And I thought, how is that that is, she's most... I have come to believe, because when I was like, you know, 15, 16, I thought I pretty much had it together spiritually, right? And now that I've walked with the Lord for a long time, I think the closer you get to Jesus, the more you realize the gap between you and him. And she was feeling sinful, not because she was less perfected together. I was just dumb. And she was truly spiritual. So we all fall short of the glory of God. Serve others generously, and then worship authentically. I desire that we would be a place where we can admit our brokenness. We can admit that we all need more of God, amen? No, should have been more. We all need more of God, amen? Okay, and so we want to be a place where it's safe for that to be transparent with God and say every Sunday, come into my life. I don't want to be a slave to fear anymore. I want you and me, Lord, fill me up. And so as we close, and if our musicians would come, I want to ask you the question that I ask you every January at the beginning of the year. I know we're not quite there yet, but the question is this. How are you more like Jesus than 1 year ago? I asked you this question a year ago, but I didn't talk about having a plan. I realized I'd kind of done that wrong. And so this year we've talked about a plan, because 1 year from now, when I ask this question again, I want you to say, I've got more of this and less of that in my life. Have I got it all together? Am I grandma spiritually? No, none of us are going to be that place. But you really, truly can grow. And I don't care where you are in your spiritual journey, you've got more room to grow. Trust me, okay? You've got more room to grow. And so if our musicians would come, we're going to sing Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. Amazing Grace is a wonderful song of God's love and God's mercy. And the more you see that gap, the more you want to be like Christ. And the good news is the Holy Spirit never says, stop, you're a sinner. The Holy Spirit says, come on up, I got more. I got more for you. So my great desire is that this year you would be intentional. If you plan your retirement, if you plan your career, if you plan anything, plan your spiritual growth. Amen. We're going to worship the Lord in giving as we sing as well. This is a great place to put your communication card in there as well. So let me pray for you. Father God, Lord, I am so thankful for a faithful pastor that in my teenage years challenged me to be intentional about my spiritual growth, Lord. I'm so thankful for the spiritual coaches I have had over the years and pastors that have grown me and helped me, Father. And yet I realize that probably the most significant thing was being disciplined in my approach to growth, Father, to being in your word every day, to being in your presence in prayer every day. And so, Father, I pray that you would grow me in this next year, that I would be a little bit more like you a year from now. And I pray, Father, that you would grow every one of us. I pray, Father, that for those that have been walking with you a long time and already do this, that you'd pick up the pace, Father, that they would find a new level. They would find another thing to put out of their life and another thing to embrace in their life spiritually. And for those that are just getting started, Father, I pray that you would make the time in your word and make the time in your presence just rich, Father. Would you just bless us, Father, and change us and make us like you? That when we go out in the world, Father, that they might see you in us. That when they come to our church, they might see you in the community, Father, and be drawn to it. Make us like Jesus, we pray. And it is in his name we ask it. Amen.